Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It's Thursday and Brian Bulaga's here? Great! What a great Thursday edition. The reason why he's here today is because we had such a great Wednesday. What a great show. I got so much feedback. Now, again, from a certain age demographic, saying it was the best show we've ever done.
Wow.
Maybe a little pommy, a little prisoner of the moment.
What?
But still pretty good.
What is the best show we've ever done?
I don't know. I just take them one show at a time. I don't rest on my laurels. I don't get complacent because Goody might draft somebody to replace me. Edition. And the... I understand this is a controversial take for some, but I have some real FOMO from yesterday. Not just because my favorite all-time Packer, Dorsey Levens, was there, but also... because I love the Dells. And I know there are people that disagree with that. I love the Dells. Don't love Vegas. Love the Dells. Edition of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter at some point. Facebook, I don't think we fixed it yet. And always on YouTube. And of course, everything you need, I'm going to use it. I'm going to be using it again today. Transcribing some interviews from yesterday. The ESPN Wisconsin app. All new, all redesigned, all free, all customizable. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. I'm too close to the camera. And from his undisclosed location back where he belongs after a abbreviated day on the course, he is the Packers Hall of Famer and supporter of Tellurian's celebrity golf tournament at Trapper's Turn. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to figure out. So prior to us doing the show, you had never been to Wisconsin Dells in your life.
Correct. Yeah, huge miss of my childhood that my parents never took me there.
Yeah, we have been to the Andy North and Friends event. We've been down at the Dells for numerous different golf things. And I don't know, the Packers aren't even practicing.
But you're not going to do this, are you? You're going to do this? This is how I come in with great positivity and energy, and you give me this? Like, I had a meeting with a partner yesterday. Like, I couldn't miss it. It was important. Like, I got a lot going on that doesn't pertain to the Packers sometimes, and so I couldn't come yesterday. And, frankly, the rain changed my perspective because we got to talk to four of our favorite guys that we wouldn't have gotten to talk to had it been a beautiful sunshiny
day. Is
Bryce
Pop one of your favorite guys?
I've known him since he was coach. Well, I never covered him. He's not one of my favorite guys that I covered.
Okay.
Because I never covered him.
Okay.
But I used to talk to him. He would come to practice when he was coaching at Green Bay Southwest. He's a really sharp, interesting guy. I can see why he likes you.
So he is a very smart dude.
Can I admit something to you guys?
Sure. You didn't know who he was.
I'd never heard of Bryce Pop before until yesterday.
Well, maybe it was because Tausch pronounced his name as Paup.
I've heard it neither way. I had never.
That's a good line.
I had never heard of Bryce Pop before, and he was great. I loved him. It was great getting to meet him and hear his insight.
Maybe the heaviest hands. Maybe the heaviest hands of any guest.
So a very firm handshake. Yeah.
I mean, he has got a big old strong handshake. Like, I'm talking, you shake hands with Chili, and you shake hands with Santana. And, okay, and I got big hands. Old Paupers, man, his hands.
The Prince and the Pauper, am I right? So did you, again, as much as I'd love to continue to discuss what I have going on, I love the Dells.
No, listen,
we've
Jason,
been there a few times.
I appreciate you saying that. I stopped right away. I didn't give you any more grief.
We've been there several times. It's been great. I know some people think it's kind of kitschy or cheesy, but I'm all in. It's like going back in time. Okay. It's making up for the childhood I didn't go there during. I enjoy it. We're going to go there again, hopefully sometime this summer. It's fun. So I am pro Dells.
Like, and I'm not going to be whatever here, but
it sounds like exactly what you're going to be.
No, it is. I feel like you could use some, I don't want to use the term therapy. There's a lot of stuff going on in your mind about your childhood that I don't, you know, when we had our life.
Not as
on,
much as Homer's. Way, his dad would never come to any of his sporting events.
Yeah, no, and I think there's a way with, that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to delve
suggesting
into anymore. Just,
that Homer and I go to some sort of therapy together, like a kind of a couples therapy?
Couples therapy.
I don't think you need to go anywhere where Homer's going in that regard. I notice when you say a lot of things that there's a lot of stuff that feels like maybe is under the hood of the car of Jason Wilde. And I think maybe seeing a mechanic and, you know, pulling some pipes and maybe putting some fluid in might spur you on to maybe not have the same amount of corrosion that is under from your childhood. I think that's – I'm crazy, but that's what I feel.
Okay, so I appreciate your diagnosis.
This is not going to be our best show ever.
I don't know. We're off to a pretty good start. I would just say this. We are all products of our environments, right? Whether that is good or bad.
Trading Places if you don't remember that. Great example.
Because what we do on this show are timely references. So the 1981 classic Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd.
Well, does it not fit what... Was that not the whole experiment of Trading Places? Environment versus genetic?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
But I would say
Valentine!
This.
Valentine!
Jason! See, the similarities are endless.
There you go.
I would say this. I would say that for the whatever parenting, some would call them shortcomings, some would say overprotective, helicoptery, over-involved, whatever you want to say, and I'm open to, I feel like I'm a pretty open person to discussing things. If that's viewed as an overcorrection by some, I'm okay with that. So when Homer gives me a hard time about, you know, Maddie's got a track meet tonight, that's the conference track meet, I'm not missing it. Sydney plays in a golf tournament tomorrow, I'm not missing it. Is that formulated in part by my own childhood? Probably, right? But I would say you either take what
get
you...
Get busy living or get busy dying?
That's also a good line, yes. By the way, if you want to become a therapist, which I know you have a lot on your plate these days too...
No, I don't want to become a...
Interrupting, I don't think is part of the process.
I don't want to be a therapist, though.
Good.
I don't want to
be
a banker.
You wouldn't be that great at it, yeah. So I would just say that I think... You either choose to replicate what you experienced from your own parents, or you choose to go a different direction. And so I think we all make choices. I'm not saying that all my choices have been right, but I feel pretty good about how motivated I am to go about things with our girls in a way. And I know people give me a hard time about talking about the girls all the time. I get it. That's fine. I'm okay with that because I'm not changing. And in the words of Stuart Smalley, I like me. Or maybe that's John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
It's John Candy.
All right, let's enough with the psychoanalysis of me.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Hey, this one's
God,
on me.
God, I love the Dells.
I apologize. Jason loves the Dells. He's been there twice, and he loves the Dells.
I think three times.
The Dells is awesome. Yeah, I can't believe they keep putting more and more stuff up, and it keeps filling up. Like, it's an amazing place. They are building these monster new spots.
Really?
There used to be one spot. Now there's three, four spots. And there's two more big boy construction projects going on down there. I won't give free advertising, but there's a steakhouse down
ice
there
cream?
That is they
is
I think
it Burger
they do
King?
Ice cream. It is not Burger King.
Did see one
Stop
of those though.
Or is it one of the old school Denny's right there on the way back to Madison?
They apparently must have ice cream.
Yeah. Well, they do have milkshakes.
I don't think that Denny's is the same as the other Denny's, though. I think it's a, like,
no,
different.
It's a Denny's.
Oh, is it?
No, it's a
I've
Denny's.
Never been in it.
How can you? If you're a Denny's, you're a Denny's. You can't.
No,
this
I think
trademark
I,
issues. You can't. You can't have a special Denny's. Like, Denny's are Denny's. Okay.
That sounds like a lot of advertising for Denny's.
They make ice cream.
Grand Slam. A
couple things from yesterday. So, Jesse, Jason has been very clear that Dorsey Levens has been his favorite Packer to cover. That's one thing. He wishy-washies, and every player is his favorite when they come on the show, and, oh, these are my favorite humans. I give him a lot of grief about it. A lot of it's fake. Some of it's true. I actually believe that Dorsey, truth there.
It's Dorsey.
Well, am I right, Jason?
If I had to guess.
Oh, so-and-so is my favorite guy. Other than Bill Schrader.
I always say one of
my favorite guy.
If I had to guess Jason's Mount Rushmore, it would be Dorsey Levens, Jordy Nelson, you, and Devontae.
Yeah, no, not Jordy Nelson. No.
Really?
I have gotten crushed for me being a Jordy Nelson apologist, because I believe what they did to him was wrong.
No, Aaron Rodgers is on Wilkes' Mount Rushmore.
No, he is. He's not.
Come on.
He's not. The problem
is... I disagree. I couldn't disagree.
Thank
more.
You for telling me what I feel.
Pull that. You know what? Pull that.
Therapist
there is
Mark
no
Tauscher,
way anyone
thank
that
you
Jason...
for your service.
Nope. No way anyone has listened to this show for the 9 years, and thank you very much. We've had a lot of A1s from day ones, is what Evan Cohen calls them. And there is not one person that would say that Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be on your Mount Rushmore. Now, I know you're going to say that, but I think we all know.
No.
At least I do.
Again.
I'd be hard-pressed.
Again. And I know that there are going to be people in the YouTube comments or in the
which one, Milwaukee or
Twitter sphere, that are going to say I'm full of crap, and or they're going to say, no, I believe you because of his COVID stance or because he went on McAfee. That is not why. Okay, I will say this. There are certain people that, and I think he's spoken about it now. I think when someone you care about is going through something very difficult, like cancer, you find out the people that really care about you, the people that reach out, the people that send flowers, the people that call and check on you, and then you have other people who don't. My Mount Rushmore is Dorsey Levens, Mark Tauscher, Devontae Adams, and Charles Woodson, and I am apologizing.
Oh, Charles!
And I'm apologizing to Al Harris because he belongs on there too, and I ran out of spots. So I would actually
Charles
take five.
Woodson. Wow.
So, but again, I don't want I don't want this to be extrapolated out into, oh, he's going on, because I saw he was on Rogan now. It's got nothing to do with whether he comes on our show or what he feels about
certain
things.
The reason I brought this up, I didn't really mean for you to delve into 17 different players.
If we're going to talk, you've gotten analysis of my childhood and my relationship with the quarterback.
Jesse, I got to tell you, I'm going to put the L in my column.
It's about time you Truman'd up. It's been a while.
I've been Trumaning since Eisenhower, so don't even get into me on that.
Yeah, more of a Herbert Hoover.
The reason I bring this up, because if indeed Dorsey is ahead of me, which I think is crazy as I've spent 9 years with you, 15 hours a week for the most part, would you not, and Jason, don't chime in yet, Jesse, would you think that if that was the case, and Dorsey Levins is indeed, and by the way, Dorsey was phenomenal. Go back to our ESPN Wisconsin app. It was his drop on Edgar Bennett, and that whole story was, I had never heard it. Just, if you're a Packer fan, you're going to love it. And I'm not just blowing smoke.
Follow us on our social platforms if you haven't yet, because we're going to be sharing some of those clips throughout the next several days, because there was so much to take away from those interviews.
It was good stuff.
Great, best show we've ever had.
Would you, as a number one Mount Rushmoreian, know when someone's birthday is?
Uh-oh.
Because guess who we sang happy birthday to at the event last night?
No.
Guess who we sang happy birthday to at the event last night?
Happy birthday, dear Dorsey.
Happy birthday to you.
Blankin' Levin's birthday, and we had him on for 10, and I know he was distracted. Gilbert was yelling at him.
He was hooting and hollering. Yeah.
I think Jason, and by the way, you are awesome at this. This is one of your strengths. In the old strengths, pros, cons column, pros, you are very mindful of this stuff. Your number one Mount Rushmoreian, you didn't wish him a happy birthday on the show?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I don't know, Jimmy.
And here's what bothers me. I have, because this is, you accurately depict my belief system. I have his birth. I'm looking at it right now. I have his birthday. I have your birthday. I have Sarah's birthday. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have Jesse's birthday. I have all these birthdays in my phone, and I think what happened was I got the alert that said it's so-and-so and two other people's birthdays yesterday.
Oh, too many birthday wishes on your phone.
And I never clicked on it. And hey, guilty as charged.
Yeah, big L.
That is a huge L, indeed.
Mike,
I love it.
God, I've been taking a lot of shrapnel lately. Holy cats.
With Tausch is wrong as usual. By the way, not only Mike the wedding DJ, but I've got a message here from Pipe Jim. I've got several people in the YouTube comments. Tausch is wrong as usual.
Thanks, Mike. Man.
It is Denny's Diner in Wisconsin Dells. I passed by it Sunday night. It has nothing to do with the Denny's chain of restaurants.
All right, Mike. Hey, you
Pipe
might
Jim
be
with the
right.
Same message, almost verbatim.
Denny's is Denny's.
Pipe Jim, you might be right. I would love to see some trademark legislation here to see who's really right, if you know what I mean.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, what do you mean, what does it mean? It looks like Denny's.
Who's
it's
really
a Denny's,
right?
You want to see the court
now
case
it's Denny's
versus
Diner?
Denny's?
So if I went and called a certain arch place and I called it Blank Diner, no, the same name, not Dennis's Diner, it's Denny's. If I said Blank Diner and I served French fries and milkshakes and burgers and nuggies, you're telling me that's all right?
All right, so a couple things. First of all, Denny's Diner is the full name of the restaurant, as opposed to just Denny's, which there is a Denny's in the Dells as well. It's by the hotel we stayed at the last time we stayed there.
That's confusing.
Well, I forgot you're Mr. Dells now. I forgot about that. That's true. Jason Dells, they call it.
I'm having
the Jason
quite a
and
day.
The Dells. I bet retired Navy fellas having a great time.
So I'm looking at
he's got 15 hearts up with Wildy on it today.
I'm looking at a photo of Denny's Diner. For starters, okay. at no point, they also, on their awning, it says famous cinnamon rolls. So they've got my attention there. I love a good cinnamon roll. Okay. There is no way you're confusing it for like a knockoff Denny's. Their logo looks completely different. Their architecture looks completely different. It doesn't look like a Denny's.
No. It looks like a roadside diner, which is what Denny's is. Denny's is a diner.
Denny's is an IHOP. It's a Perkins. It's these quick breakfasty places that are chains. This is clearly not a chain. Clearly.
All right, try calling one of your other spots and just throw the word diner behind it and act like it's a totally different deal. And let's see how the legislation goes.
Okay. All right. How long do you think Denny's Diner has been around?
I have no clue. At least 20 years.
According to DennysDiner.com, it was founded in 1980.
Okay.
I don't know how long the Denny's chain has been around, but I don't know how long they've had a location in the Dells either. So,
is this their only location?
This is the only Denny's Diner.
Just got a call off air from Jerry in Brookfield who says Denny's Diner in the Dells has the best breakfast he's ever had.
Huh.
So I smell a remote opportunity.
I feel like the new shtick for me now is I am going to just put anything I really like. I'm going to say I'm just going to put diner on the end of it. You can't do anything about it. That's what I think I'm going to do.
Buck and Honey's Diner.
Yeah, I'm sure Tommy would love that. Hey, guys, as Mike the DJ said and Pipe Jim, I'm wrong, but am I?
You're not wrong when it comes to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, though.
Yeah, I'm not even going to joke about that because there is no better time to upgrade your windows and doors than right now. Because Pella's offering up to 6 years of 0% financing. You can set up your free in-home consultation. You commit to nothing at this point. They're going to listen to your vision, suggest the Pella materials and customizations that will make it a reality. Get 0% financing for up to 6 years. Certain restrictions do apply. This deal ends May 31st, so visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
Gee, I wonder if we'll get to Brian Bulaga on time, and I wonder if he's interested in having his childhood discussed in a psychological manner. We'll have to wait to see. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
As it go, baby, go, go, go.
So, I want to get to Bulaga, so let's make this quick. Why are you siding with Big Breakfast and not supporting the local establishment?
I am not.
It's anti-brand. It's not you.
I'm genuinely surprised that this wasn't what I thought. And I appreciate guys on Twitter and on your phone responding and educating me on it. I wanted to be educated. I still, to me, it looks like an old school Denny's. It did, and it's not. So I am now going to put my support behind this diner, and I'm also going to start finding places I really like and hopefully finding someone to just put diner behind it and reset because I think it's fun. I think this could be a fun little shtick for me.
Do you have any... Right now, off the top of your head, like Gina Della's Diner?
I don't want to just kind of jump in, but there are some spots I enjoy that I'll maybe figure out if we can't dinerize it up a little bit.
Okay, well, when you open these locations, make sure you have Kohler Services handle the bathroom design, because we have a winner of the big contest, I believe.
Oh, awesome. We going to put it up, or when are we announcing that?
I don't know. That's why I didn't want to say anything out of school beyond saying we have a winner.
I feel like
it's your contest.
I know, but you don't think I'm going to ask a follow-up if you said that there's a winner?
I thought you might know, because it's your contest.
This is also my bad. I haven't been in here since we got the winner announced to us, and I haven't uploaded the photo yet.
I'm still trying to figure out what Jesse was doing in the Dells yesterday. Like, I'm still trying to figure that piece out.
There was pre-breakfast,
but I'm not figuring out.
Wishing Dorsey Levins a happy birthday.
If you need a remodel, I know exactly where you need to go. You need to go to Kohler Service. If you've been putting off that shower or bath remodel, the time is now to turn to Kohler Services. Family-owned for 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer that provides care for life. And this month only, you get $1,000 off your Lugstone shower remodel. No interest financing for 12 months. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation, always included. Again, it's KohlerServicesWI.com.
Brian Bulaga time next. It's Will Dean Tausch.
This is Our Crew.
12 stolen bases on the year. There he goes. Pitches high. Throw to second. Is right on the bag. They got him. Oh, wow.
You're listening to Madison's new home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball. 100.5 ESPN.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not.
Welcome to Denny's Psychological Center, where our therapist Tausch walks you through your childhood and interrupts you while you discuss it.
And makes you an omelet.
Our next patient is Brian Bulaga. Blue, good morning. Thanks for joining us on a Thursday. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, now that Tausch has gotten to the bottom of all of my deepest, darkest psychological issues, I'm great. I've never felt mentally healthier. So I'm excited to talk with you. I am here to suggest that the Green Bay Packers, which I intended to get to, instead we discussed my childhood and why I am the way I am, which is a long conversation, were put in a really bad spot by the NFL. I had some text conversations with several people around the league who confirmed what I already knew, which was
Schneider,
the league John asked Schneider them to put Dorsey this proposal forward. It's also worth noting that the Detroit Lions team president, Rod Wood, came out and acknowledged publicly on the record that Troy Vincent called him the week of the Lions-Vikings game in Week 18, after Amon-Ra St. Brown had spoken out saying it's ridiculous that the loser of this game is not going to get a home playoff game, and said that Amon-Ra St. Brown made a good point, and would they be interested in partnering in a proposal to change the seeding system? So apparently, the NFL has teams bring proposals that they'd like to talk about, and they just ask them to do them a solid to put them out there. Unfortunately for the Packers, the one that they were asked to do lost. Got more votes, 22, but didn't get the 24 they needed, and now the Philadelphia Eagles are on a victory tour doing their happy dance and can't wait to shove it up their tushes when they come to town on November 10th. Brian Bulaga, your overall thoughts on the outcome of the tush push?
Yeah, I mean, it is a interesting scenario, right? I mean, I think I read an article this morning that, I mean, I'm sure you're referring to the same thing that the NFL essentially put them up to because they don't have an owner, I think is kind of the article that I read. And that
Channel3000.com, I'm sure, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was something of that nature. Maybe it was that exact article. That essentially no one can get mad at the Packers because they don't have an owner, so they can't specifically get mad at a certain owner because of that or whatever it may be. But I mean, the tush push is, I mean, at least for another year, going to be around. I'm sure the Eagles, when they come to town, are going to run it like 15 times just to, like, you know, really rub our noses in it, which is going to be funny. But it is what it is, man. Like, it is a boring play. It is kind of monotonous, but, you know, 22, you needed 24, and that's what it is. But it is funny how the league, you know, calls around looking for teams to, like, do their bidding. Like, that's really funny how they do. Like, that's interesting to me. Like, teams don't do it on their own. The league calls to entice teams to do it. Like, that's interesting to me. But I don't know. Like, to me, it's a boring play. I understand, like, people that, like, are a fan of it call the teams that aren't a fan of it soft and this and that. But, like, it's just not, I don't know. Maybe I'm in the majority because 22 right. out of the, you know, I'm in the majority, but I'm not in the super majority. I'm not the super majority because I needed two more teams to be wow. in the super majority.
Listen to you. It's like having Wolf Blitzer on the show.
Yeah. It's you need 24 to be the super majority, but I don't know, man, like maybe next year it gets brought up again and maybe you need a team with an owner to do it. You know what I mean? Maybe you need a team with an owner to do it so that other owners get behind it. I don't know. But it's another year of the same old, and that's the way it's got to be.
Yeah, Blue, I hope that this thing goes down. It's a playoff game, and Philadelphia is at the one-yard line. And whoever they're playing, if it's Green Bay, if it's Washington – I hope they just keep jumping offsides over and over and over and over again, and they are forced to award a touchdown, and that's the difference in the game. Because then all this foolishness ends, and that's what they're trying to be preempted. They didn't do it. Because if I'm now on defense, I'm jumping the snap count constantly. And if I get them to flinch, they lose 5 yards. If not, I'll sit here and do this all blanking day. I'll just keep doing it all blanking day, and I'll bore you to death, and our audience will be there. So this should have been the moment that they were proactive and said, we're not going to do it. They decided to punt, which is fine, but now I really hope that this happens because you didn't take the stand that you needed to, and you let Jason Kelce come in there and lobby, and he got it done, and it is not a fun play. It's not an entertaining play. And I hope this happens. You gonna join my club?
Yeah, I mean, what I find interesting is that going to be what it takes is for another for yeah. them to be awarded a touchdown for a non-play, essentially. Like, is that what it is going to take for this thing to get flipped? Is for fan bases, or essentially, really, what it's going to take is for Vegas to get mad when a touchdown gets awarded on a non-play. And something gets yeah, flipped
Rockford,
of that nature.
Or Rockford.
Or Rockford. Or Rockford. Yep, yeah.
Both.
Whoever.
Yep.
Whoever. Whoever sets these lines. Whoever
Denny's.
Sets these lines. Right? Yeah. Whoever
Denny's
sets
Diner.
These lines. But it, because, like, that was the thing in that Washington game last year that really caught my attention is when Hockley came on and said,
uh-huh.
"We're gonna, I can award a touchdown if this happens
God,
again.
I hope
it's like,
that
what do you
happens.
Mean you could have. What do you mean you can award a touchdown if this happens again? Yeah. Like that, and if that actually happens, then that's going to spark it. So, like, yeah, I hope that does happen so yeah. that sparks the change. Because, like,
yeah.
the minute that happens, that's when NFL fans, that's when owners are actually going to go, yeah, you just can't award touchdowns for penalties. Like, that can't happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was the overarching story yesterday, and the Packers' name was all over it, which I understand they got the draft. You know, Homer's theory is that Goodell called in a chip because – or chit? Is it a chit or a chip? A marker because they got the draft. But I thought another thing was really interesting. I watched the entirety of Kay Adams' interview with Matt LaFleur, and I learned – that Romeo Doubs is there. So there's one less piece of drama that I can allegedly stir up with the Packers. I do want to ask you this, Brian, because I am, you know, I feel like I'm a very positive person. But I also, because I'm a reporter, I do tend, don't roll your eyes at me over there in the lower left corner. I do have a healthy dose of skepticism.
I didn't put myself on the video.
Oh, you didn't know you were on the video when you were rolling your eyes at me? Okay, that makes it okay. So Matt LaFleur with Kay Adams very much talking very positively about the dynamic in the wide receiver room. Oh, Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs. I was going to go correct something. Now he's yawning. Take Tausch off the video. Just put me and Bulaga on, please. Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs pulling Matthew Golden aside and giving him pointers. LaFleur was going to go give Matthew Golden a coaching point, and he stopped because Romeo Doubs was already giving him on a Dover route, which I don't know what that is. But he's selling this angle. My question for you, Brian, is that having been in these team position rooms, should I swallow what he's putting out there whole, or should I consider that maybe this is
what
spin?
Swallow the, what you're putting out whole?
I didn't know you were even taking part in this anymore, okay? You
just, I'm here, baby.
Go away.
And I don't love your analogy.
You got his attention
there
with that line.
He did. He sat up from like, looking at his
phone.
What are
you talking about?
Should but, I be? Okay. Should,
whoa, Nelly!
I'm with you, Jesse. I'd whoa, Nelly, too.
I've been distracted now. Should I listen to what he's saying and believe him or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's everything's going to be hunky-dory in the offseason, right? Like, and I think there is to buy that right now. Yeah, I mean, I would believe that right now for sure that there's good cohesion and the older guys are helping the young guys right now in this period in the offseason, and they're helping Golden kind of learn the routes and do those types of things. And yeah, I mean, to me, that would be something that I would for sure expect older guys to do. I mean, it was something that we always did in our room, help younger guys out with footwork or with plays or calls and things like that. Like, that's how you try to help guys get up to speed so that when you get to camp, you're not doing this over again, right? Because once you get to camp, re-explaining these things and going over these things again, like, you don't have time to do, like, sure, you can, like, explain it to them in a meeting room again, but, like, to go over these things in detail again, like, on the practice field, you don't have time to do it. Like, you're hopping from one thing to the next, and things are flying a lot faster at you. So, like, this would be the time to do it. And once you're into camp, you're competing for time. You're competing for reps. You're competing for, you know, who's going to get the most percentage of snaps on game day and things of that. Like, who's going to be the starting X or the Y, or who's going to be here? Like, you're not worried about if Golden understands the Dover route. You know what I mean? Jane Reed knows the Dover route. Dobbs knows the Dover route. They want to be out there. They want to know, you know, they want to get that ball thrown to them. So, like, they're helping them now, as they should. I mean, that's what the veteran guys are there for. But once this thing starts going, Golden and these young guys, they got to be ready to go. They got to be up to speed on it, and they got to do their own homework. And part of that, too, is watching the older guys and learning from them and not just picking their brain and talking to them, but watching them do it. I mean, from a – being a young guy, like, how I learned a lot was watching Tausch, watching Cliffy, because I got to sit behind them, obviously, as they were practicing, and watch. Mm-hmm. You'd hear the play, and you would watch. And that's how you pick up a lot of things and learn things. And if you're not able to do that, you're, like, it's so cliche, like, the mental reps, but it's true. Like, you have to get mental reps when you're not out there so that you understand what you're supposed to be doing when you're not taking the actual physical rep. And that's the biggest part of being a young guy, is take the physical rep, take the mental rep, and then be able to go execute it.
So we have,
yeah, and I think, Jason, and just to kind of pound on to what Brian was just saying, I think there's the beginning part of it where you're very understanding. I want to help these guys. You want them to know what the heck they're doing. You want to be a better player, But you, once you see that, hey, they're grasping and they're just wanting to learn more or wanting to get better, you're all in. And you can also see the flip side of that. If they're not doing it and they're doing it a different way or they're doing it however, older players will say, all right, well, hey, man, you do you. You do what you think is best. And then there's, you know, the little disconnect. And that happens too. And most of the time when that happens, you don't hear about a guy having a long career. Like, that's typically how this thing goes. And that happens more often than you'd probably think.
I just thought it was interesting when you, and by the way, per the Cambridge Dictionary, the saying swallow something whole means to accept something without questioning, doubting, or criticizing it. So perhaps you could have swallowed my use of the term swallowed whole and not criticized or questioned it because it was correct. Now, moving forward.
I don't know if I really want you even bringing in the word swallow in.
If you're gonna choose to go to the gutter, that's fine. You just
I
go
didn't
there.
Go, you went to the gutter and I didn't go to the gutter.
I used the phrase that is in about? The dictionary.
I went to the gutter.
Brian. Gutter City. Yesterday, we talked with Robert Brooks, who was a wide receiver, obviously, in Green Bay before your time. May have even, I got to check your birthday, but and maybe even before you were born when he started his career. But he said that basically Sterling Sharp was a jerk, right? Is that a fair description? Did nothing to help him, did nothing to mentor him, had no interest
I think everybody, and you, not at your point, but I think all local beat writers would probably have things
a
to
similar
say
opinion.
About that, too. The fact that they went to the same school 4 or 5 years later, and there wasn't much give and take. Like, nobody's sitting there saying you need to be, like, you know, going over to their house and breaking bread. But I found that very interesting that there was – non-communicado, but in fairness, he also mentioned, and this is what Brian just said, it's about watching, and Sterling Sharp, you know, he's a Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats, really started the trend of this 100 receiving, 100 catches a season guy. Sterling was one of the first, if my memory serves me.
Uh-huh.
I was still surprised that there was no communicado between the two.
So the reason I brought it up is because, you know, obviously Tausch did do things to help you with your development, even though you were only there 1 year together, and then you paid it forward. And what I garnered from Robert Brooks was that he tried to, kind of like me with my childhood, if we want to harken back to that, tried to do things differently than the way Sterling Sharp did. So he paid it forward to Freeman, and Freeman paid it forward to Driver, and on and on and on. I have always, as I said yesterday, I've always been fascinated by guys' willingness to do this. I know you did this with Bakhtiari and that crew. What allows that to work? Because in some instances, it is counterproductive to your success, right? If you wanted to be a selfish person, like it seems like Sterling Sharp was, you would not help people, and it may not help the team, but it might help you keep your job. Why does that system work in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think personally, I mean, first of all, like Tausch did say, it is up to the guy to accept that help. Like, mm-hmm. that is the first thing, right? Like, sometimes guys don't want to accept that help. I've seen that in the O-line room a bunch. Guys want to go do their own thing, and well, this is what I learned in college, and this is what works. And okay, well, that's fine. You know, you do your, you know, you do what you want, and that's fine. And then there's guys that are willing to listen and learn and adapt. And because at the end of the day, right, like you know there's a chance, at least I always thought this, and you know, the way the offensive line always was, there's a really good chance that guy – probably is going to be playing. Like, there's a good, like, most likely the way offensive line rooms work, and you know, like, you have a pretty good understanding of guys and their contracts and who's a good player and who has a real opportunity and things like you have a really pretty good idea who's going to be playing. Like, you want to make sure that that person is ready to go and that they are able to contribute and play at a high level. And you can only control what you can control with yourself, right? Like, you know, say David being good. Yeah, sure. That meant that David being good at left tackle meant that I wasn't going to be back there, but that didn't mean that me going back to right, I had to be a stink right tackle, right? Like, that didn't mean that me going back to right tackle, I had to play bad. Like, I can only control going back there and being a solid player. Like, go back and be a solid player at right tackle and do a good job there. And so making sure that guys are performing at a high level or helping those guys perform at a high level, to me, that's just being a good teammate, right? Like, helping guys do their own thing. Like, no, you can't play the position for them, but if there's little tips and tricks that you can help, you know, them be successful, might as well just help them out with it, right? Like, and that to me is the easiest thing you can do as a veteran. You're not teaching them how to play. They know how to play already, right? Like, it's just giving them little pointers that can help them out along the way to make their life a little easier. And as Tosh said, if they're willing to accept that, great. It probably will help them down the road. If not, okay, do it your way. But yeah, most likely, you're gonna be out the door.
Yeah, and I think Brian brought that, you know, this part of it up. I can only speak for myself, but I think most guys, especially as you're getting older, it's kind of cool. Like, you know where you're at. You know at some point this thing's going to end. I think when you can have someone that you know, Josh sitting for me, like, you know, guys that you know that you've helped, that lasts a lot longer than your playing career. And it is a highly competitive deal, but it is really cool when you see, and even if there's just a little something that you helped and the guy comes and says, man, I appreciate what you did, that's pretty dang cool too.
But you have to be secure in who, like, I mean, let's be honest here. Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, that was not the dynamic, right? It was more like Sterling Sharp.
I think initially,
at least the first 2 years.
Initially it wasn't. But I do think, and it was more watching, if you watched how that relationship continued to unfold, obviously it ended in a very sloppy way.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't, I think, that's just a different animal.
Quarterback's different.
There's more ego. But I don't think, obviously it was different. It was just different. But I think if you asked Aaron Rodgers, he learned a heck of a lot and took a lot of both the good and what not to do on the bad side of it, and that helped him have the career that he's had.
And he was better with love as a result as well. All right, Brian, we got another segment with you, whether you like it or not. More with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Bucks.
There's going to be no city that loves Giannis as much as he's beloved here.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
The story of him walking around without a winter jacket and somebody picked him up and brought him to the Bucks practice facilities. Like, that will never happen anywhere else.
Madison's home of the Bucks. 100.5 ESPN.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not.
Continuing with our famous friend Brian Bulaga. God, this is I can't thank you enough, because I thought, because we pushed you, that we might not have you this week. And this is the highlight of my week. Now I get to talk to you twice today, right? Because you're on Homer later as well. I do want to get back to something that I have asked you a little bit about lately with the offensive line room. Now that you've had more time to think about this, I have been talking to a few other people whose opinions I trust, because I never played in the NFL. I know that comes as a surprise to people. I am struggling to balance the value of being told, hey, we believe in you, you're an important part of what we do, we trust you, you're appreciated here in any job, including the NFL, with, yeah, you're going to have to compete to keep your job. We might not give it to you anymore. I have been struggling with that because I don't want to write a story that criticizes the competition concept, right? Because that's what the game is all about. At the same time, I heard Matt LaFleur say it again in his interview with Kay Adams, just talking about how competition, I mean, it is the word he uses the most. Like Mike McCarthy used the word positive, he uses the word competition. When you look back, has there ever been an instance, not necessarily with you as a player, but with guys that were around you, say, I don't know, Yash Nyman, the example that jumps out with what Steno said a couple years ago about him, that competition did not bring out the best in people? And is there value in that, too, in finding out that they're not up for the challenge?
Yeah, like, the what's happening in that O-line room right now is unique. Why it's unique is because pretty much every year I played there, right? Maybe it was different for Tausch, but maybe there was a year like maybe when Lane first got his first year starting, maybe there was a competition when Lane Taylor, mm-hmm. when he first started his first year, maybe he was competing for that spot, but that was one position that was up for battle. But there was a pretty good idea of who was going to win that, right? Like it was pretty well known. But this is the first time, like you're looking at, you know, one to two to potentially three. I still don't buy the Zach Tom thing. Like, I'm sorry. Like I'm not there with that. Like I can't, I'm not buying it. Like
I'll
I'm
join
just,
that club.
I just can't, I can't club. Buy that. So like, if you look
Blue,
at it,
what,
two,
Blue, we both don't agree. Or, I mean, we agree that we don't buy it. Why would they do it then?
That's what my question was about to be. Thank you.
Well, you didn't ask him. Thank
well,
you.
I feel like I've talked too much.
I think it's got to be some type of, I think it's a motivational thing. I have to believe it some way, shape, or form. I will put it this way: being around Steno and being around Butkus, they're good motivators. And one way or another, how they do it. Steno had no problem calling out veterans. He did it all the time in the meeting room. He did it. I mean, he's done it to me. He's done it to Bach. I mean, he had no problem doing it. I think guys respected him for it because it was never out of line, right? Like it was never, like when, like for no reason, right? Like it was never like, well, why would you, I didn't do anything. Why are you calling me out? Like what was the point of that? So there's always a reason for something is what I'm getting at is Steno's very good at those types of things, right? Like he's a good motivator is essentially what I'm getting at. And the messaging obviously is followed up by Butkus as well, right? Obviously the offensive line coach. So like, I think there's a competition there. I think it's a motivational piece because I still look at the room and I'm wondering who is going to push Zach Tom out of that spot. And if someone does push him out of that spot, is Zach Tom going to be standing next to Coach Butkus on the sideline? I don't see it. Yeah.
No,
so like,
he won't be.
That's what I'm saying. So like, there's not a world that happens in. So like, to me, it's a motivational thing. I think, from as Zach Jason, I read your article. As Zach Tom said in that article, the way he finished was not the best way, right? Like it was not in up to his standard. And I think that's the way Steno and probably Butkus and LaFleur feel as well, right? It wasn't up to par. And this is just a little bit of a motivational piece, right? And I think they feel about that about the entire offensive line as a whole. And that's why, as Tausch said, a bunch. Why a lot of these moves were made in general, right? Like, that's why a lot of these things happened.
Do you get the impression that he needs that, though?
I was just going to ask. They must know how Zach Tom approaches things, and they know he's going to respond. Because the last thing you want to do is do this, and then Zach Tom pouts and then put him back in the lineup. So you have to have trust that you know who this guy is, or you don't do this. Because there's no doubt if you text Steno right now, Blue
could be wrong.
It said Zach Tom's gonna be your starting right tackle. against the Detroit Lions on Sunday afternoon, and it's just between you and me.
And if
I'm
you
not
don't reply,
say it on
I'll assume
the great
he is.
Show Will Dietausch or the Homer Hour, he would say, "Yeah, no, he's going to be the right tackle. He's going to say that." So he has to know that Zach Tom's going to respond the way he hopes, or you don't do this.
Or you're wrong. Let's not. We have to at least allow for the possibility that
they, who are they
you
putting in there? Let's say
it.
Let's say they're wrong, Jason.
Anthony Belton.
Where are they going?
Anthony
okay,
Belton.
Yeah.
No.
It's a project.
You guys
They've
both
all said he's a project,
rookies?
Jason.
You guys played
They've
as
said
rookies?
He's a project.
My point is that Zach Tom does not strike me as the kind of Cletus Hunt, who was before your time, strikes me as the guy you have to motivate. Zach Tom played his ass off after tearing his pec, admitted that he wasn't the player that he wants to be. Does he really strike you as the kind of guy that needs a fire lit under his ass? That's what I'm asking.
I'm not in the building. I don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happens in the room. I don't know Zach Tom personally. Love him as a player, but I don't know him personally. I don't know those interactions, right? Like, I don't know how that goes. But the thing, like, listen, Belton may turn out to be a great player, but here's the thing. The guy started how many games at left tackle? Like 4 years worth, right?
Yeah, right. 38, yeah. Something like that. Yep.
So if you think he's going to go out there and switch to right tackle and just go do it, let me tell you from experience, it is not easy. And if you're going to go do that and just go throw him out there right away, he ain't beating Zach Tom out. It's just not happening. Like, it's just not. So, like, that's not going to happen. Like, it's just, so to me, this there's only one way to look at this thing, and that's the way I see it.
Yeah.
I don't know Zach Tom personally. He seems like a guy that does all the right things. He seems like a very highly motivated guy. But these, like, how coaches do things and me being – obviously, I was around Steno for a year, and I still talk to him every now and again in group chats. We don't talk about these types of things. Obviously, this is business, how they're going about this. Our texts are more off-color things.
Right.
way different.
So you said this is business. You just said this is business. So then let me ask this question.
Right? Like,
so because I have a hard time – not only based on his personality and my interactions with him and what other people have said about him, he's in a contract year.
Mm-hmm.
What player on the planet isn't motivated in a contract year? Plus, he was a fourth-round pick. It's not like he's got a bunch of first-round money even. So the idea that you have to motivate him and have him react like Scott Wells did when the Packers disrespected him and he was all fire and brimstone. Again, I don't understand.
You would have loved
it.
To seen Wellesley after he got cut. Oh, was he a treat to be around? Wow.
Oh, man.
It was fun.
I can't even fathom that. Listen, Jason, I wish I could tell, like, that's why those comments or the direction with the Zach Tom thing is throwing me off, like, completely. Like, that's why I don't really have a great answer for it, because I look at the roster, or at least that room, and I don't see a replacement for him. So, like, with that being said, I don't understand where they're coming from with that. I'm okay with competition. I am They brought in Jason Spriggs in what was that, 2015 or 16?
Yeah, I think 2016.
They brought in Spriggs in 2016.
And you cooked him.
To compete with Dave or I, because Dave was in a contract year that year as well, right? So, like, you expect those things to happen, right? You expect and Spriggs was a second-round pick. You expect those things to happen, right? You have to just be ready to compete no matter what. You know, the same thing with, Zach Tom right now and what's going on at left tackle. You just have to be ready for it. But that doesn't mean that those things are actually going to happen, right? Like, that's just the coaches right now looking at their roster and their depth in that room, saying there's going to be competition. And there is legitimate competition at multiple spots, which we understand. But that is not, to me, one of the spots that there's going to be serious change at. Like, it just, I don't see that. Because if there is change at that spot and he is not the one there, I don't know where he is then. I mean, I don't understand where he goes.
Legit, if he loses out, and again, I think I feel like in August we're going to be looking back and Jesse marked this tape. We're going to say we were idiots for even entertaining this. The comments are the comments. What I'm saying is, if Zach Tom is beaten out in August, he should go in and say trade me because I could start for 31 other teams. Period. Finn. Mm-hmm. It ain't happening, Cap'n. I don't know the why. I normally have a pretty good idea on the why. I don't know if this is – my guess is it was because of the way the season finished. I think Goody has been very clear with his approach. He didn't like the way the O-line closed, and everybody is on notice. Everybody. Yep. And Banksy was the chip that said, y'all are on notice, except for old 65. That's what they said. And now we'll see.
That's never been said before to this. 65, not on notice. Brian, it's always great, man. Thanks for making time for us today. We appreciate you.
No problem, guys. Take it easy.
I still don't understand why Steno said what he said, but hey, that's... I think you're right, Tausch. I think ultimately this summer we'll be like, why did we waste that oxygen? And it's going to be because of the way he said it. That's going to be why.
Well, and especially, Jason... there is a legit, and I can't wait. That left tackle battle is going to be fun. Is
right.
Jordan Morgan elevated to make this a run? Because we all thought that battle would be last year, and that was a TKO on day two.
Right.
The guy
Buster
never even
Douglas.
Took reps.
Yeah.
Buster Douglas took a beating before he knocked Tyson out.
Michael Spinks,
forget about
91
that.
Seconds.
Spinksy was the ba-bam.
You mentioned, yes. Indeed.
How much money do you got to pay? Get paid to sign you getting knocked out of your mind? And is that Johnny Cochran behind Tyson's shoulder?
I don't know.
Jesse, is
maybe
that?
We'll have to look at the larger version of the photo. In the meantime, tell us about the AmFam Championship where we'll be together in a little over a week, maybe.
It's coming down the pipe. American Family Insurance Championship returns to Madison, but there are two new exciting changes this year. Wisconsin's own Steve Stricker hosts the PGA Tour Champions event June 6th through the 8th. We're going to be out there on the 8th. I love Friday. It is one of my favorite weekends of the summer, and summer hadn't even started, and it's going to be at its new home at the TPC Wisconsin. AmFam Champ also debuts a new team competition this year. Two-person teams will compete in a best ball and scramble format. The American Family Insurance Championship is June 6th through the 8th. Get details and ticket info at amfamchampionship.com.
The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch kicks off in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.